Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. The topic for this morning's show is the prophet from the Word of God through obedience and faith. I'm going to be reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1, if you have your Bible with you. Therefore, verse 1, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare it on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it day, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is a wonderful chapter. It is filled with great doctrinal truth. And the entire exhortation, which is the title of the book of Hebrews, is filled with very weighty and substantive doctrinal truths in order to build up our hearts, to build up our faith, and so that our practice as believing ones is fruitful. We practice the faith once for all given to the saint. So it's written by Jude. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, we have a very important message for us. So we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Well, here the writer is speaking about the wilderness wandering. That is, after the people of God had been delivered from Egypt, they wandered for 39 years and 10 months. So, God's people were delivered from Egypt by power. Egypt in the scripture is a type of the cosmos system controlled by the Satan. And note very carefully Pharaoh's attitude for releasing the people of God. He did not want to let them go. He insisted on fighting God. Pharaoh himself was considered a deity. And this was a contest of the gods. It is Yahweh Elohim and Pharaoh of Egypt. And the judgment that God brought upon Egypt was against the idolatrous deity. Each judgment was against a particular Egyptian deity. And so Yahweh showed himself powerful against the world power of Egypt and its corrupting and controlling influence. And we may note that the same judgments that we read about that took place in Egypt before Pharaoh released the people of God, the same same judgments that will be seen that will be brought upon the world during the tribulation period. Same judgment. And so the people of God were released from the control of the world system through the power of Yahweh, and they were brought out to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh pursued them, even though his country was in ruins, he had lost his firstborn son. He still refused to let the people of God go, and so he decided he would chase the people of God. And he believed that he had entrapped the people of God, whereas he, in fact, had sealed his own doom. And God had made a way out of no way for his people. God parted in the Red Sea for their escape. So the waters congealed. What is the sense in the Hebrew? The waters congealed, or the waters stood. people might pass through, and they went through the waters on dry ground. Pharaoh and what was left of his army went to pursue the people of God, and when God's people reached the other side, God collapsed once again. The waters, they were congealed no more, and Pharaoh was lost. The people of God saw this deliverance. They saw their deliverance in the first person. They lived the theology, and they saw the deliverance of God with their own eyes. They were first-person witnesses. They stood on the other side when God delivered them, and they praised God for his deliverance. Even Miriam took a tambourine. She and the women began to praise the Lord as a man of war. And God was praised as the divine warrior on behalf of his people. After that, after the praise for deliverance, God's people go into the wilderness, and within a few days, they begin their rebellion against God. And so it is that they continue their rebellion in the wilderness. The theology or what the deliverance that God has shown them time and again never coalesced into an awakening of spiritual insight or consciousness. They never achieved what they should have achieved, and that is they saw the Word of God in action, and they saw that God had been their deliverer. They failed to make the connection that if God delivered me in this situation, from this situation, and if God delivered me in this situation, that tomorrow, when I face another crisis, I should be able to understand that God is for me. God is pro me. They fail to make that connection. This is a very fascinating piece of theology, an area of theology, the wilderness doctrine. Now, ordinarily, that journey from that is the journey to Kadesh Barnea should have to the entrance of the Promised Land should have taken the people of God only 11 days. And because of their disobedience, in this journey, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, we read these words. These are the words Moses spoke to all of Israel in the desert east of the Jordan, that is, in the Araba, opposite Sif, between Haran and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Zahab. It takes, verse 2, 11 days to go from Horeb, that is from Mount Horeb, to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir Road. And so, only 11 days. them 40 years because they fail to believe God. And so God dealt with their unbelief, God punished them for their unbelief. And really, they fail to understand the serious nature of unbelief, because unbelief is slander against the character of God. It is a very serious spiritual crime. Unbelief is slander against the character of God. And so Yahweh judges people. Unbelief kept them, that is, people of God, from enjoying the blessings of Yahweh. Take a look at Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. And take a look at Proverbs 19:3. God has said to his people, in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 1, "See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." God said, go in and take possession. They, however, God condescended to their spiritual weakness. They wanted to send out. And in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, Moses rehearses for the people of God their attitude toward God. Now, please note that this, the book of Deuteronomy, is called the second giving of the law, because those individuals who were involved in rebellion and unbelief against God had been judged by God, and they marched around in that wilderness until they died. The book of Deuteronomy was written for the children of those people who failed to believe the word of God. That is, the original people who came out of Egypt. They said that, their children will be destroyed. And they showed what was in their hearts through their behavior and through what they said. And so they slandered the character of God. And God judged them. And now this book, the second giving of the law, is for their children. Their children, God will take their children into the wilderness. Now, in verse 26 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, we read, Moses said, "But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us.' So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go?" So here's the self-pity. Here is the gnawing subjectivism. Here's the failure to perceive the word of God. They had inconsistent perceptions of Yahweh. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say, "The people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there." There is a book that I like on this particular topic. The title is These Sort of a Country. The author is Dr. Robert Kate. He was a professor at the seminary that I attended. And very, very wonderful scholar and godly person. Dr. Kate wrote this about this particular situation, that is, people of God and what happened to them in the wilderness. He wrote this. Quote, their past successes had given them no confidence in future achievement. So notice the disconnect, unquote. Notice the disconnect that Dr. Kate points out. Once again, speaking of these individuals, their past successes had given them no confidence in future achievements. Now, this is an amazing situation. And notice what Moses says in verse 29 of the people of God. The verse 29 reads, then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them, speaking of the people in the promised land, speaking of those who live in the different city states. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be terrified. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you. Notice the language, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. This is pivotal. This insight is pivotal. It is powerful. It is profound. It is substantive. It is wonderfully engaging. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. Now notice verse 32, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day. The average temperature during the daytime was 120 degrees in that desert. The Shekinah glory, the cloud, protected them from that heat. And at night, the pillar of fire protected them, provided comfort and warmth for them. They were protected from marauders. They were protected from a wild animal. God took care of his people. Everything he did was a story, a narrative about his love for his people. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God. The Hebrew word for trust here, this verb, is aman, A-M-A-N. You did not aman in the Lord your God, from which we get our word amen. And this word means to be firm. You are not firm in the Lord your God. This word also means to nurture, to care for, to be faithful. You did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey. Verse 34, when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land. And so, the writer to the book of Hebrews noted this. And note carefully how the word, the people of God did not profit from the word of God because they did not mix the word of God with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, Moses talks about their unbelief. God said he's going to judge them. They said, no, we're going to go and we're going to do God's will. But they said, and when we have sinned against the Lord, we will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us. So every one of you put on his weapons, thinking it is easy to go up into the hill country, which is where they ultimately settled. But the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemies. So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance, you marched up into the hill country. The Amorites who live in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down from Seir all the way back to Hormah. A really beat down. Yeah, serious beat down. You came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to you, to your weeping, and turned a deaf ear to you. So you stayed in Kadesh many days, all the time you spent there. And so, what did they do? Nothing. They did nothing. They failed to believe God. They would not take God at his word. And they said, through their own will, we're going to go up, we're going to face the enemy without the power of God. They lost. They were in dire defeat. Look at where their self-will led them. Look at the work of the flesh. Look what it does. Look what it did to their lives. An 11-day journey, an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, and it's an endless of promised land. That's all it was, 11 days. But they turned it into 40 years. How many individuals you know that are still wandering in the wilderness, a spiritual indecision, spiritual ineptitude, because of obedience? They read the word of God, they say they love God, and yet the obedience is not there. The fruit of the Spirit is not in their lives. You do not see them growing in the faith because there is something about them with them. There is some point of disobedience. There's something that they have not given up. These people here had not given up the idolatry of subjectivism. Yeah, they had not given up the idolatry of self-interest. They did not realize that they had to crucify the flesh with its affection and lust. So how did this manifest itself? In their attitude of rebellion, and the flesh delayed them, the flesh made them stay, and they remained in unbelief. And God says in the book of Hebrews, I swore that these people would never enter into my rest because of their disobedience. Please read Hebrews chapter 4 and understand that we profit from the word of God through obedience and faith. In fact, the title of the book of Deuteronomy is, the key word is obedience. The theme is love and obedience. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day, beloved. God bless you.